everyone, and welcome to another sobering edition of Talking Tigs. I am Scott Gerard. Joining me tonight, as always, Tommy Johnson, Daniel Zollinger. Got a little bit of a letdown this week. It was an upset-minded weekend in college football, which included the Tigers. They fall on the road to Ole Miss, 24-19, although that was kind of similar to some of our scores, just in the other way around. Don't know if it was, you know, maybe a different day next week, if the Tigers could have pulled it out, maybe, but we're going to talk about all that. Because there was that, there were some other upsets in college football. A lot of teams handled their business as well. But yeah, that puts the Tigers on a 0-1, at least for this week. And we know next week they're going to be 0-0 because there's no game. But we will cover other stuff later. But guys, I mean, I'd love to be talking on a more positive note. But hey, that's the way the cookie crumbles. It's the way the dice rolls. Hope y'all had a good weekend. Otherwise, how y'all doing?
Oh, I mean, good. Good to be with you. Disappointing loss, but always happy to be able to talk about it with my two best friends that anyone could have.
Yeah, we're hitting that midseason. The loss, obviously, a tough first one to take. I guess it's better to come in week five than week one, like we had the past few years. The season's not over at 4-1, definitely. Still a lot to play for. Just kind of a bit of a deflating one, the way it kind of went down. Pretty uninspiring performance by LSU. But, yeah, we get a week to take a breather, regroup, and then hopefully come back against the South Carolina team and hopefully flip that back around and get a W going forward. And yeah, other exciting games, a lot of them. So excited to go over that with you all today.
Yeah, and they already announced it. That game against South Carolina is going to be a night game in Tiger Stadium. So you got to imagine, hopefully, the fans will be up for that one. So should expect a good game in the unveiling of, I guess, this offense that someone's going to have to admit they need to work on during this bye week.
You're spoiled.
I thought it would have been I thought it was a perfect opportunity for whoever had the first question. Maybe it could have been Michael Kalbligan. Oh, up for questions. Brian. So, what's up with the offense? Like, just double down. Comedy comes in threes. So, we still got two more to go. That's what we needed. I don't think we got it. Brian Kelly, instead of, you know, being on the coaches this time, it was more on the players, just not all performing at capacity in harmony with each other. Either everybody on the offense or offense and defense in the same quarter. I don't know. He kind of explained it, but I don't know. My takeaway from this game and now looking back at the season, I could encapsulate in only two words. And I think most of our listeners would know what I'm talking about. My two words are less miles, but I'm not going to leave it at that. I think it could be fixed, but even less miles wasn't like he didn't care what people he was crazy enough to use two quarterbacks throughout the 2011 season, even though it didn't look right, but you know what? We were undefeated until the title game. So I don't know what Brian Kelly's hang up is, but obviously now he has to look at the offense. It can't just be, you know, something that he can't put his finger on. I mean, I would say look no further than what the opposing team did and who their quarterback is now, who now I have to eat crow because I didn't think the guy could, you know, had really faced a defense like ours, but it doesn't matter. He's good. And the reason he's playing is because his head coach decided after the season started, well, this guy that I had starting, it's not quite getting it done, so let me just change it up. I'm not saying Brian Kelly has to bench Nussmeier to start a game, but give us something. I mean, Ness is obviously hurt, and I would rather him just lie to it at this point and say, oh, bro, you know, he's got something. He's got a cracked rib. He's got to sit out a week so Van Buren can get some starts. I don't know. I could go in a lot of different places. Tommy, where are you at? I just want to do a little welfare check
on everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I think overall, very disappointed. Obviously, I think when we all three picked LSU to win, I had a little bit more optimism about this team. I think that I mean, that was a bad loss. I think that you know, starting out in the season with a win against Clemson, of course, that win has not aged well. Then you go on and you know, but even still, that's going into a hostile territory against a team that's, you know, touted to be one of the top in the nation.
Playoff bound.
Supposedly. Yeah, playoff bound. Like, you know, that's something to be excited about. Then you take care of business against Tech. You play a Florida team that again is supposed to be, you know, decent. Now that's also been called into question. But like we said going into this game, this was a real test for LSU, and we failed. I think the game was a lot further than the score shows. Like, I don't think it was as close as the score tells you it was. I think that we were really never in the game. Our first touchdown was really a fluke play. I think defense gets a pass. I think defense looked good this year. I mean, looked good this game. I thought we rushed the passer well. Patrick Payton had two batted down balls. We had two interceptions. One, of course, called back on a pass interference, which I don't fault DJ Pickett for that. He's a freshman. I think that's I like the intensity. I like the
instinct.
Gusto. The instinct, the gusto. Yeah, just go get the ball. I'm fine with that. Mm-hmm. Was it at a bad time? Yes. Now, I mean, then you go back to back. You have another PI literally next play.
Mm-hmm.
So that was tough. But overall, I think that this game showed us that our offense really is that inept. The play calling, uninspired. The quarterback play, bad. I mean, Nussmeier's clearly hurt, right?
I was going to get into it, but yeah, I would agree. You could see on that near touchdown pass to Hilton, I saw someone
show it on. The ball sailed.
Well, no, he had to, like, Hilton was open by like 2 yards or so, and then Nuss threw it, and Hilton had to come back to get it.
Yeah, if he would have put it in the end zone, it drops in the basket, but he left it on the 5 yard line.
Last year, I think he makes it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if 3 weeks ago, I think he makes it. I don't know when. I don't know when he took that hit or took the injury.
Yeah. Look at, yeah, exactly. Probably in practice, and they've been hiding it from us, and we've noticed. And like I said, this we could have resolved this in game two about getting Van Buren some more reps. Just tell us Nuss is hurt. People accept it. It's obviously the truth too, now that we found out. But the point being is, if you look at that throw to Hilton, look at it, because he throws like he's going to instead of leaning into it off his front plant foot, he pulls his leg back like he's afraid of something, like either get like it's going to hurt or like he was about to get hit. Either way, that's why the ball kind of lost its steam. You just go back and look at that throw. You can see him pull his front foot up for some reason. So there's something wrong there. Point being. But Daniel, what say you, my friend?
I mean, I watched the same game as y'all. The defense was pretty good overall. They had that one bad drive that Tommy referenced with two straight pass interferences, and that was actually kicked off. We had them backed up on their own goal line, second and long, and it was about to be third and long. Weeks had a bad roughing the passer penalty that basically let him keep going. And if he doesn't commit that, they're at like 3rd and 17, and we can probably get off the field there, and none of that stuff ever even happens. So that was a mental mistake. And we had a lot of penalties across the board, offensive and defensive, almost the same. They had
over
100 yards of penalties. It was a sloppy game in general, but that kind of contributes to what Tommy was saying about that the game wasn't necessarily as close as the box score indicates, considering like Ole Miss had a bunch of penalties. They had one fumble that was on like the 2 yard line that AJ Halsey poked it out and saved a touchdown, which was a nice play. But and then Chambliss threw one pick, and then they could have scored another touchdown at the very end, and then they like knelt it down. So that's kind of 7 like phantom points. But the defense overall was good against a nice offense in Ole Miss. It's been beaten to death, but the offense just bleh. We only had 2 rushing attempts by running backs in the first half. That's a weird balance if you know that your quarterback is not playing his best.
Is that stat counting Xavion Thomas like motioning into the backfield?
Yeah, so I'm saying like by true running back, so either Juwan Johnson or Harlan Berry. We ran that kind of jet out with Xavier Thomas quite a bit, like six or seven times during the game, and it to varying degrees of success. But yeah, the offense was not connected. Nussmeier and his receivers were not on the same page. The balls were thrown inaccurately. Offensive line was getting blown back. Ole Miss was rushing three and dropping eight, basically the entire second half, and they were still getting to Nussmeier. And so you got eight in coverage. Ridiculous. That's going to put a lot of pressure on your quarterback, and our offensive line can't even hold their three guys back for 2 seconds, especially considering Nussmeier is a statue in there, and he doesn't have the pocket escapability that Chambliss showed multiple times during the game. So kind of a laundry list of things to work on. It wasn't the worst game we ever played, but just as it kind of chugged along through the middle, second and third quarter, you knew that we just weren't going to pull this game out, unfortunately. Cause like sometimes it's like, oh, they got a quick strike, we can get back in it, we're feeling good. But this one, like, it was a long grind down to nothingness, kind of the inverse of almost what we had against like Florida or Clemson.
You could feel it. I mean, I think you could feel it right from the start of like this team just doesn't have it today.
Yeah.
I think it's just, I mean, Nussmeier's clearly hurt. We've discussed that. Daniel, you brought up a good point. The offensive line, terrible play. I mean, yes, when they're dropping eight and rushing three and are able to get like meaningful pressure on a quarterback, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable
down
in the SEC. Unacceptable in high school football. I mean, you're just playing numbers. I do think though, like, I don't know what the percentage is of like, is how much goes on Joe Sloan? How much goes on Garrett? How much goes on the offensive line? How much goes on Brian Kelly? Because I mean, there's a lot to dislike. At a critical point in the game, we're trying to push the ball down the field and trying to put a little pressure on Ole Miss, and the Nussmeier wastes another timeout on, because he can't get lined up, because we can't get the play in, or who knows? I don't know what the reasoning was, but it's just unacceptable. There's just so many things. Scott, what you got?
God, no, it's just the only thing you hadn't mentioned was probably, I'd say, well, you mentioned offensive line, but I think that you mean like the unit. How much of it has to go on Brad Davis? Because they haven't done anything this season to like really show any improvement. And I mean, the guy's a great recruiter. You can't take that away from him, but like all the offensive line play itself has just kind of been, you know, I mean, we think we did okay last year, but I mean, it's, I don't know. I think it kind of starts there, because like you said, they're rushing three and they can drop eight. You know what? We're lucky that we had Clemson first game, because they figured out, well, she's probably going to figure it out. No, if they'd have just rushed three the second half, we probably wouldn't have pulled that out, you know?
I think it's a good point. I think that there definitely has to be a discussion. The Brad Davis point, I'm on board with you. But I think it brings up something. This is something I was thinking about all day yesterday. We need to really discuss why is it that LSU, because you're right, he's a great recruiter. Corey Raymond's a great recruiter. Brian Kelly is a great recruiter on paper. I think that, but what is it about some of these other programs? I watched, like, it happened back to back to where LSU game ended. I turned on I watched Oregon play Penn State. I watched Alabama play Georgia. None of those guys look like our guys on offense. Defense. I still think our defense is one of the top in the country. But I mean, we haven't had, when's the last time we had a legit running back in this team?
Clyde Edwards-Helaire 2019.
Yeah. But I mean, I wouldn't even say, I think Clyde was great. I love Clyde. I thank him for everything he did for our team. But I mean, like, I feel like it goes back to maybe Darius Geis.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of LSU running backs, it was almost embarrassing how Logan Diggs, former LSU Tiger, came in and got a touchdown to like seal the game away at the very end.
What about Sage Ryan also?
Yeah, Sage Ryan making a couple tackles. I was like, where are these guys?
But I just think there needs to be a discussion about development within our program, because to me, it does not feel like we've been able to either effectively identify or develop talent. It's almost like the opposite of what it used to be. It used to be LSU was really good at like finding some homegrown guys that maybe were a little under the radar. 247 didn't have a bunch of stars on them, all that kind of thing. And then you bring them in and develop them. And then sure enough, like, I mean, for 10 years, LSU's running backs, it was like, it didn't even matter what their name was. You know, you could go down the line between, you could just pick one off the, you know, Alfred Blue, Kenny Hilliard,
Spencer Ware,
Yeah, exactly. Like you could just go down the line, Terrence McGee, and just pick up. And the guys were solid. And you know, we could always count on them. We don't have that anymore. I never remember us having severe offensive line issues like we have now.
Well, we were also, because it was our offense back then. It was that Les Miles offense. And now that I mention it, yeah, it's like at least they could run. We can't run it. We can pass, but we can't pass because we can't run. With Les Miles, it was the opposite, right? Like we run until we couldn't because we couldn't pass to open it up. And we just never felt like we had a quarterback either, like a good starting quarterback. That's why we were limited to running. And I guess that's the thing too, is the play calling is just so obvious, and I don't understand why they haven't mixed it up, added Michael Van Buren, even just for a down. But it doesn't make sense if you just throw on first down and don't get it, and then you're just doing a draw on second down. Now it's 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 8. You know, they're going to expect a pass, and they're just going to drop 8, and we're just going to, oh, maybe one down we'll mix it up and try and do a handoff, but we're not going to get the first down.
Well, and even worse, like once when you really like narrow it down, our pass game is not even that mixed up. I mean, Garrett, I appreciate everything Garrett's done for the program. I greatly appreciate that he's stayed for 5 years and has been, you know, a ride or die guy, because in the age of the portal, that is not common at all. But I mean, he really can only throw drags and out routes. He has, right. we can't push right the field. And it, you know, it begs the question, like we said, I mean, it looks like he's clearly injured. Well, it's unfair to him too. Like, if you keep putting him out there and all he can do, I mean, there was a play. I remember I texted y'all. There's a play early on where it might've been his first completed pass. He throws like a little out route to, and I forget who it was. Might've been Bauer Sharp. He throws a little out route. And I mean, the thing was a duck. I texted y'all. I was like, he just threw a duck. Like that wasn't even him trying to put it 40 yards down the field outside the numbers in a place where only Chris Hilton can catch it. I mean, this was just a you know, standard throw. He just doesn't have the zip on it.
Mm-hmm.
So quick question. Go ahead, Daniel. I saw you.
I didn't have too much more to add, but yeah, there's with the quarterback situation. I'm not sure if I didn't realize this, but Brian Kelly and Garrett Nussmeier have the same agent. And so who knows if that's playing into anything.
There's, I thought they technically couldn't have agents at this point, but
playing for the same team here. But yeah, it's strange. Like if Nussmeier is hurt, it's the way he's playing. He's playing himself out of like a high draft pick position. And so you'd almost think like it's better to sit and just tell everybody, hey guys, I'm hurt. That's why I've been playing bad. I'm still good. Like I'll be healed and ready for the NFL. And then, okay, it's like you're a second or a third round pick instead of continuing to struggle. Oh, maybe you're a day three pick. And for a guy who was supposed to be top five going into this draft, it's not a good place to be. And so, I mean, they got 2 weeks to think about it. To be honest, I don't think Kelly switches away from Nussmeier unless there's like an absolutely horrendous stinker against South Carolina. But I'm like 99% sure Nussmeier starts and probably could play the entire game. Which
I would imagine Kelly starts. I don't think we unless Nussmeier legitimately like gets hurt to where like he comes off the field, something mm-hmm. bad, you know, something bad. I don't see them making a change.
Yeah,
but what do we It is. So what are we protecting, though, by not making a change? Like, the point is to win. Like I said, Lane Kiffin changed his quarterback two games in. They've done fine. They've won three really good games in a row for, you know. And look at what Arkansas did to their defense. Look at what God, who else did they play? Memphis almost scored as, you know, more as many points as we did. So it's just like, what are they doing? Like, why do we not have that success? Like, I don't understand what we're protecting, because
I think we're protecting Brian Kelly's ego.
Okay, but does he not want to win? And I feel like, you know, the Notre Dame fans tried to tell us when it first happened, but, you know, we had just gone from years of Les Miles with this type of frustration to Ed Orgeron, which is just like a flash in the pan of success. And now we're looking for someone competent to lead the ship. And we go, Brian Kelly. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I wasn't thinking about that, but yeah, that's great. And they're like, no, you guys don't. I was like, they didn't even allow us to be excited about this new gift. You know, they're just already telling us, you know, like if you got a car and someone goes, yeah, but the gas mileage is going to kill you. It's like, you don't want to hear that right as you get it. You want to enjoy the sale. So we just didn't ignore it. But what they are saying is kind of coming true. He is not going to budge, or he's like, you know, does he have a nickname, Big Game Brian? No, not really. I mean, he's not Big Game Brian, unfortunately, because he keeps losing him. But I don't know that it's going to change in the off week. Like I said, when it first came down, he was mad because we questioned why the offense was bad. Then he was like, well, it's on the coaches and the players. We got to get better. Or the coaches. Now it's, well, it's not on just us. It's on the offense and the defense. So he's always got an answer. The guy's a good talker, but he's not changing.
I agree, and I've seen a lot of people mentioning, you know, I saw the tons of people on Twitter being like, this is Les Miles. I think this is worse. Because at least with Les Miles, like, one, I think Les Miles was more likable than Brian Kelly is. After this game, I'm out on Brian Kelly for a while, and it's going to take me a while to get back in. Like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get back in, but I think that for the amount of money that we've invested in him and this program and this roster, I mean, Lane Kiffin, ever the troll, you know, was like, oh, like they said something about like, what's $500,000. He's like, oh, that's half a cornerback they have, half a defensive back they have or something. And he's not wrong. The amount of money that we've invested in this program on Brian Kelly's behalf, and the amount of money we've invested in Brian Kelly, because the discussion at Notre Dame for the longest time was, well, he's a great coach. He's a great, he's just a great coach, but he just can't get it done because the academic rigor of Notre Dame, they can't get the players. Imagine if he had like an SEC roster.
LSU dummies.
He'd be the, he'd be the talk of the town. Well, here we are. And he has all that. He has all the, you know, and I just don't think he's got it. And it really, like, when you're watching, and again, when I watch back to back and I watch LSU play and then I watch Oregon, and you see what Dan Lanning's doing at Oregon. I mean, he's the real deal. Even, I don't know. I'm still very skeptical of DeBoer, but that Alabama team looked good against Georgia. They looked competent.
Totally, totally different. You were mentioning coaches. I was going to ask you guys, because Lane trolled him more than just the comments he made. He posted something on Twitter when one of Brian Kelly's video dance
360 dance videos.
He did that, and then I don't know if you saw this, but Elko at A&M, yeah, after his post game, he made a comment. He didn't directly say Brian Kelly, but you knew he was quoting him about something. So it's like all these guys are trolling Brian Kelly, and it's like the guy, I think he's got to get nasty. He's got to put up or shut up, because his, like we've said before, his manhood's on the line. I think he's got to get vicious, because this country club niceness, although, I mean, he's definitely, like you said, he's a good coach. He knows what he's talking about. And I don't think he would have lasted quite that long at Notre Dame if he didn't have something you know, something else there, something going for him. But question real quick, based on just his, like, just decision making, because this, I remember this happening in the Miles era also. Maybe they haven't gone to number two quarterback because they see him in practice every day, and
yeah,
maybe he's not ready. Because I mean, he looked great in that second half against Southeastern, but that was second half against Southeastern. Maybe injured Garrett Nussmeier is still our best option. What do you think of that?
I've considered that too, and it's kind of a scary thing to think about. I mean, many people have said that the best player on the football team is always the backup quarterback, because it's just the unknown that you never get to try. But at this point, I'm like, well, we know what Nussmeier is doing. It doesn't look like he's getting any better, so just give us a little taste. And if Van Buren is bad, we go back to Nussmeier, and we know what we're good with. But if he's good, then there you go. At least maybe do some designed run plays or something, goal line offense. We could have jumped up 14-0, like right at the bat in this game, and then Nussmeier threw that red zone pick. So being 14-0 and putting Ole Miss on the back foot would have been awesome. Instead, we had some troubles, and we didn't score again score another touchdown for another 50 minutes. But I doubt we'll see that against South Carolina. Maybe at least this 2 weeks gives Nussmeier a little bit of time to get healthy. Joe Sloan to go into the lab and find something other than a screen pass or a run between the tackles. And I guess we'll find out in 2 weeks.
Well, I think another thing to bring up that I think is honestly a negative. Aaron Anderson goes out of the game mm-hmm. against Ole Miss. I haven't heard. Have y'all heard anything about his status? I haven't seen anything. I mean, no. If he's out for a significant amount of time, that only hurts Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah, and Whit Weeks was seen in a walking boot after the game, too. not great.
I think he said he was fine, though.
Maybe precaution.
We got it by a week. But I don't know. I'm not as worried about the wide receiver group because we definitely have plenty of talent there, although Anderson was just – he's the guy that ate up yards for us like nobody else could.
He's Nussmeier's security blanket.
Yeah, well, I think the – I don't know. Yeah, I forgot what I was going to say, but anyway, what else? Like defense. Oh, that's what I was. You were mentioning off some plays there, Daniel. One that I think is very telling and something that they need to look at in the bye week. It's just like we're tired of kicking field goals, right? Sure, we want to put it in the end zone. So why in our 2-point conversion to bring us within?
Oh gosh,
like we just did a draw up the middle.
That was terrible.
Like what are we like? This, the game's on the line, and that's the most creative thing. Like, what has he seen all game that makes him think, oh, we can get this one in?
And so two offensive linemen just stand there, let the D lineman run straight past him and make the tackle in the backfield. It's like, what?
This is a team that hasn't been able to establish the run the entire year. And then on a set play where you have no, like, you're not setting anything up. You're not like, okay, we're going to hand it off to set up play action or anything like that. Yeah, you do. You basically run a little dive play. I don't know. That was terrible.
Yeah. I don't know. But obviously, you know, Brian Kelly could say, I'm calling plays or something else. Or we're going to mix it up. But like you said, Tommy, until he does something like that, that shows that he's aware of an issue and he wants to win games regardless of whose feelings are hurt, then yeah, I don't know that I can buy anything he says until then.
I agree. I think this is a very important loss for LSU and for the BK era that we have been talking about for 4 years now.
BK era. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he was on a hot seat season like Billy Napier was, but depending on how this season goes, like if we can't figure this out and like, oh my goodness, there's no way we're going to make it through Alabama and on the road at Vanderbilt, who's now undefeated, A&M, who's definitely not scared of us. That's the thing is some of these coaches, they're like, screw these guys. They have nothing. We're just going to go in there and bull rush him.
I saw a and we've talked about this on the podcast for years now, like how much is coach and how much is program. how much of the 2019 season was O, and how much of it was it's LSU. People want to play for LSU. People want to win at LSU, all that kind of stuff. Well, that goes the opposite way too. And I saw some people online talking about it. I think it's a good point to bring up. Like, people were like, this program is on the trajectory, like the, over the past couple of years, on the downward trajectory of going into like a tier two SEC school, like a Tennessee. And I don't think it's out of the possibility. Like, we've been so conditioned for basically 25 years now. Since Saban won in 2003, we've been conditioned to say like, okay, like LSU is an elite program. That was the same for Florida State in the 90s. That was the same for Nebraska. That was the same for Texas at a time. It can go away. You can lose it. And mm-hmm. so we brought in Brian Kelly for what, Daniel, you said before we started recording, it's a $75 million buyout for Brian Kelly and his staff. Mm-hmm. So you bring in $75 million worth of investment into this program to try and build on what we have and keep it at the elite level that it should be. I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. If we continue to take bad losses like this, but I don't know what the solution is, because you're so laden down with $75 million is a lot of money for us to come up with. And then you got to go out there and compete to get another coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's all that.
I'll make a small donation of $100 million.
Okay.
Do you see that woman? Do you see that woman in Alabama when the Powerball was happening? The Powerball was like at $1 billion. They said, "What are you going to do if you win?" And she said, "I'm going to buy out Kalen DeBoer."
First thing to do. Yeah, I'll give 100 million pod coins. Those aren't worth very much.
If I did win the Powerball, would I buy out Brian Kelly? I might. I don't really like the way he runs the program. I'll be honest. I feel like there's something missing.
It's not unfair to say that.
Well, yeah, what's missing is success. And
well, I think even aside from that, it's like Brian Kelly's LSU football doesn't feel like LSU football to me.
See his particular brand. I guess. Yeah, but I don't even really know what it is now. I mean, he's been here 4 years. I'm still not sure what it is, because it's like it's
kind of changes every year.
Yeah, I mean, it was different when we had Jaden Daniels, because I mean, that guy just made things happen. He actually made Kelly look really good his first year. He looked really good his second year. We didn't have a defense. All we need is a defense. Well, now we have a defense. I mean, if we had Jaden Daniels, I don't think we'd be having this problem, but we don't have a Jaden Daniels. We have Rocket Arm Nuss, which isn't the same guy as last season, unfortunately, but I don't know if it's going to change. They got a week to figure it out. Other teams, though, I mean, like I said, a lot of people handled business. Ohio State did on the road. Oregon did on the road. And I don't know, man, Penn State, they have made a living on just hanging out in the top 10, but not really winning anything. They're just always there. They don't do it. I mean, I guess Alabama can deserve to be in the top 10 after that. I don't know. I mean, in a year where the playoff is just completely wide open, it's maddening and somehow fitting that LSU just can't figure it out.
Yeah, those two big games between Penn State and Oregon and then Alabama versus Georgia happening at the same time lived up to the expectations. I was having to flick back and forth between the channels like as fast as I could at the very end when Penn State was going into overtime and Georgia was like kind of, they didn't really do much of a drive, but they had a chance to win it at the very end and couldn't do it.
He dropped it on the five. Speaking of dropping it on the five.
Oh, that was terrible. Yeah, that was terrible.
That was the game right there. That was the game.
So Oregon looks to be the real deal. Dante Moore, their quarterback, legit Heisman candidate, came in Penn State wideout. It's kind of weird how they do the wideout, but then they wear blue. Apparently, because it's like James Franklin wants the jerseys to contrast with the crowd, like for better visibility or something. That's kind of strange.
So I saw people talking about this. Did that mean like when they were whiting out with Bill O'Brien, did they wear white jerseys?
I guess. I don't really remember.
I don't remember either. I don't remember the whiteout being a thing at Penn State until like a couple of years ago, but honestly, until the Mo Bamba clip came out.
Yeah, LSU's yellow out a couple weeks ago in Florida didn't really go so well. And then the Georgia-Alabama game was a lot of fun. Bama just seems to have Georgia's number the last few years. Kirby Smart is like a gazillion and two against everybody not named Alabama. But yeah, Kalen DeBoer made it happen, so they are still in the hunt, still a good team. I mean, Georgia's still a good team as well, so you can never count them out. And it's going to be a tough competition down the stretch, considering how we played. But a little bit quieter week coming up in college football, I believe. Another big – did game day say they're going to Bama for Vandy?
I thought they were going to Miami. Or Florida. So they're going to Florida State for Florida State, Miami.
Oh yeah, Florida State, Miami. Sorry, but yeah, Alabama, Vanderbilt is kind of the other matchups. Like you don't think about Vanderbilt as the premier matchup, but they took down the Tide last year, and we'll see if DeBoer can get his revenge. And we got both of them coming up here in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. And then what was it that it ended up being a good game with Tennessee, Mississippi State went to overtime, and now you have Mississippi State going to A&M. Could be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Other than that, yeah, it's a lot of heavy-sided matchups. But I hope the Tigers can figure something out in the off week. Woo! I imagine I'll be interesting to see what we hear this week. Usually something drops after we close up shop for the week and put it into post-production. Then something drops the next day. Maybe we'll hear something. Nussmeier to have surgery on his.
It's because they don't want us reporting on it. They're like, we got to wait until Talking Tigs drops before we drop the news because we can't let them go off on us too bad.
I know that's what it is. I don't know anything else y'all wanted to mention.
I would say big shout out to AJ Halsey. That guy's the real deal. That's some great safety play that we haven't had since probably since like Delpit. So great job there. Defense still looks good. I can kind of rest in the fact that we have a solid SEC leading LSU defense as it should be. It's like, you know, it honestly doesn't compute for us to have a bad defense and a good offense. Like that just doesn't seem right. It seems a little bit more right to have a good defense and an inept offense. But man, they got to get right. They got to fix it. They got a lot to fix.
And then one thing, we basically listed only negatives with the offense. One kind of positive thing, I thought Xavier Thomas had a pretty good game. He had the 50-yard pass that set up the touchdown at the very beginning on an underthrown ball by Nussmeier where he pretty much bailed him out and then had a few decent runs kind of on those design kind of sweeps and stuff. So he's really our only kind of weapon, I guess. Even Harlan Berry got a couple decent carries towards the end, but run game, not much. So we'll see if Xavier Thomas gets worked in even more. But we need Aaron Anderson to get healthy and really everybody to get healthy and just figure it out. Easier said than done.
True.
Yep. He even looked good on one of those punt returns. Like it didn't even get that many yards, but it was just nice to see someone handle it in like medium traffic and get like a good 12 yards out of something that would have just gone for zero or less. So I don't know, maybe we'll get better in special teams and that'll kind of help make up the difference. Cause that's what happened in 2011. Our offense was stagnant even after, you know, towards the end of the season. Like I remember that game against Arkansas, the championship game against Georgia, we were down 10-0, I think both times. And then we came back partially because Honey Badger ran a punt return back. And that, for some reason, it sparked us. you know, got everyone to stop thinking about how bad our offense is and get some good juju going. We need something. And I think that's why it ultimately falls on Brian Kelly. No matter if the players aren't executing, if the mood's down, nobody's going to give you this spark with some amazing play when you need it. So having said that, what we will do is probably leave it there for right now. We'll follow up next week, go over some other college football news and notes. You know, there's other games going on. See if there's any news coming out of the LSU operations building, but I don't know, probably not likely. But until then, hope everyone has a great week. Stay safe, stay tuned, and we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Digs.